I'm in love with another, and he's steadfast and true. 'Cause I'm in love with another man, now I feel sorry for you. I've found the one who shows me how he loves me in every way. I've found the one who can make me smile 24 hours a day. I waited, how I waited, how I thought that you'd come through. I waited and I wanted all this time to be with you. But I'm in love with another man, and he's steadfast and true. I've found the one I've waited for, and he's taken my heart from you.
Saturday Night Country, Australia's home of country music. ABC local radio around the nation, internationally on Radio Australia, and as we stream to the planet on the World Wide Web through Radio Australia and, of course, ABC local radio on this website. I'm very pleased to welcome to our program a lady we heard sing there. We've heard her on the show before. Her name's Alana James. That track, 24 Hours a Day, is the lead track of this album that popped up on my desk a few weeks ago, and I thought, I want to find out more about this person. We've tracked her down, and she's on the show tonight. And, Ilana, welcome to the show. Where are you tonight, at home?
Thank you, John. I am. I'm at home here in Austin, Texas.
The home of great musicians.
Yes, it is, if I do say so myself.
Hey, we're going to sort of introduce you to Australia. Look, I first heard of you in the context of the band Hot Club of Cowtown. That band sort of disintegrated, didn't it? And then your future changed and brought you to where we are now and sent you on the solo career.
Yes, that is quite true. Although I will say that, believe it or not, Hot Club of Cowtown, like a phoenix, is sort of it squawks out of the ashes every so often. So we're still doing shows every now and then, which is extremely fun. But yes, I did create sort of a new self when that band pretty much, you know, hit the wall in 2004.
So when you say you created a new self, but that old self must have been there to bring that music through to what we hear today. Was it just the freedom of being alone that allows you to do some different things?
You know, I think it was partly the freedom and partly the habit of you know, recording and touring and playing, and partly the necessity, because I realized that if I didn't create something of my own, that I would fall back into a situation where, you know, I would be a support person for somebody else. But it's like, if you have an opportunity like this in life, which I think maybe those opportunities don't come along that often, you should maximize it. So I thought, what's the most ambitious and kind of crazy thing I could do? And that would be make my own record and, you know, go out and travel as myself.
So what's crazy about doing that?
Well, there's nothing really crazy about it, but I guess it does involve a certain amount of risk, and then it also forces you to kind of assess what you have. You know, like when you're in a band, maybe you're never quite sure what you brought to the table, what was just the band chemistry, what was the fate that propelled you to whatever success you had. You know, so what it does is it reveals to you, in certain terms, you know, what you have kept with you and, you know, that sort of thing.
All those self-doubts come to the fore, don't they?
Yes, but what's great about them coming to the fore is then, like, what, you know, that game, the game where you take the club and hit the gopher on the head and it goes back down into the box. Maybe that's an American thing, but, you know, for each of those fears that comes up, then you deal with it and you move on, and then you're that much better off for having gone through it. So I have to say, I think I'm like 5 million times more confident probably now than I was a year and a half ago, just having started this process and it being as successful as it's been.
Let's talk about the music on here, because it's fairly it's diverse. But the end of the listening experience of the album, you know, it all comes together nicely. But there are many influences on here. There's traditional country influences. There's the influences, quite strong influences of I can hear the Stephen Grappelli and the Hot Club de Paris in there, of course, with the violin of I've forgotten his name for a minute. Stephen Grappelli is right. I was thinking of Django Reinhardt, so the guitarist. But there's all those influences there, including Duke Ellington. We're going to hear a track that Duke did years ago. So where did you get all those influences from growing up?
You know, it's interesting. I didn't actually grow up with, I don't think, any of those influences. I grew up playing classical violin, and what I think in a way was really helpful to me, there was that classical background, because a lot of the old style, the old world jazzy fiddle players, and even people who played in these kind of Western swing formats in Texas in the 1930s and 40s, they did come from a classical background. And so in a way, by having bypassed pop music entirely as like an instrumentalist when I was younger, that classical background, I think, when you didn't step into different styles of playing, like jazz and stuff like that, you naturally have an old world association of how those things are supposed to be done. You know what I mean?
I follow that. You were trained classically. How long did you actually play classical music?
Yes, I did. I played classical violin since I was five, and then I played a lot of viola, like a lot of orchestras and chamber music and stuff like that. But certainly when I was growing up, I really didn't know anything about the kind of music I play now. I didn't have any role models. Nobody was showing that to me, and it really wasn't until I was out of college that I started to discover this kind of music. And once I did, especially as a fiddle player, it's just incredible because it's such a rich diet of so many different kinds of things. And, of course, on this record, what I tried to do was then synthesize all these things that I've known so far and then create my own songs in that idiom, and that's where it is for now.
Let's hear another track from the album. Alana Jane's my very special guest around Australia on Saturday Night Country and on Radio Australia. And back with Alana after this. And there, Alana James talking about fiddles. On that one, Silver Bells, there's plenty of fiddle on there. I mean, you're not alone on that track at all.
That's right. That's Johnny Gimble who's playing the other fiddle on there. I wouldn't say second fiddle. I think we're playing twin fiddles on that track. And he, of course, is the great fiddle player who played. He's sort of the grandfather of Western swing fiddle. He's by far the most copied, renowned fiddler in that style in the world, really. And he lives here in Austin too, so over the years I've gotten to befriend him, and he came and played live on that track on his 80th birthday last year, which was so exciting, such an honor.
And he's still nimble nimble and gimble go together, I would suggest, but he's still very active.
He's very active. In fact, I just ran into his daughter a couple days ago in New Mexico, and she said that he's 81 now, and he's so busy. He's working so much that his wife is having a hard time keeping up ironing his shirts and getting him fed into all the shows on time.
Well, you do move in circles where people write things. I'm looking at something here that came with the record. It says, and I quote, "A beautiful voice, a fantastic musician with the heart and soul of an angel. And Willie Nelson seems to like you a lot." And there are a few other great quotes like that as well around the place. Raoul Marlow from the Mavericks reckon you're sexy and a talented musician. How do you deal with all of this?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like any job. You want to continue to get better at what you do, and you want to develop yourself personally at the same time and become better and better and better as time goes by. So what I think is amazing is just that I've gotten to meet and work with so many cool people in what has really been such a short career so far. And I think it's also neat that I didn't really come from a family that had any knowledge or understanding of what this kind of life is or this kind of music. And it's almost as if I kind of feel like I landed where I was supposed to go, like a seed that traveled 10,000 miles across the ocean to kind of show up where it was destined to be, you know. And I don't know. I can't believe that I've gotten to work with and be involved with people like Willie Nelson. I mean, yeah, I just got to play on his last record, and there are millions of fiddle players, and I got that opportunity. So I hope those opportunities keep on trucking. I hope they keep coming back to me.
Well, one of those, and whether it's a good or bad thing, I'm sure it's a good thing. I mean, you were with you did two tours with Bob Dylan, and people would latch on to that and say you were in Bob Dylan's band. Tell us the stories about that. But it was something that was quite significant for you, because then that was soon after you, Hot Club of Cowtown sort of fell apart, that you got that gig. Is that how it worked?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically what happened was he and Willie Nelson were doing this tour together, and we got picked to be the opener, and it was just the most exciting thing ever. So we went and did that tour, and then the Hot Club of Cowtown broke up right shortly after that, a few months later. And then I guess, you know, Bob was putting his new configuration together the following spring, and, you know, I got invited to be a part of that. So, you know, just totally unbelievable. I don't even have... I mean, like, it's like he called you, it's just crazy. So I got invited to go, you know, do that tour, and that was for a couple months. And then just being able to be a part of what he does every night, stepping out on stage and being featured as much as I was, and playing those tunes with him and his energy and his audience and that band, it was just a sensational opportunity. And I feel like it also gave me a huge kickstart. And I think after that, I thought, you know, I can see how this is done. I have seen how it's done at the absolute peak of you know, what it is, and I would like to try that for myself. And so it's like being a rocket that got shot out of the Earth's atmosphere. You know, I think I had so much energy and enthusiasm from having gotten to be part of that I put that toward my own project, and I started writing songs and putting my own band together, which were two things that I'd written very few songs before that and certainly never led my own band.
Well, it brought you to this point, Alana James, hasn't it? And we discussed that earlier in our chat, but you pay tribute to that bloke, Bob Dylan, with a track from the album Nashville Skyline, and a beautiful song. We hear your version of that, and back with Alana James on Saturday Night Country in just a moment.
Tonight I'm as lonesome as can be. Oh, the moon is shining bright, lighting everything in sight. But tonight no whole light will shine on me.
And there it was, One More Night. Alana James, my very special guest on Saturday Night Country, ABC Local Radio and Radio Australia. And you couldn't go past putting a Bob Dylan song on your album, I would suggest, because of that. But you didn't have to. But why did you choose that one?
Well, when I was playing with him, I really tried to learn as many of his songs as possible or get more familiar with his work. And that was a song that I heard on Nashville Skyline. That song is One More Night, and I just was attracted to that record, as you can imagine, because it was more of a country-edged approach. Of all the stuff he's done, it seems like that was the most country record, and I just love that song. And so even though we never did it in his band, when I came off the road, when I started my own thing, I said, you know, let's give this a try. And again, that was something I'd never done. That was probably the first modern cover I've ever approached. But I love it. There are a lot of his songs I'd like to do in addition. And it kind of opened the door to me to doing something a little bit more contemporary. I mean, that song's from 1975, but most of the songs I've covered in the past are from, you know, 1918. So gradually moving toward the modern day.
On those tours you did with Bob, final question about that, was it the same tour as the Green Cards?
Actually, they did the summer I didn't do. So I went out, Hot Club did it 2004, the Green Cards went out in 2005, and then we were back 2006 is my trio. But I love the Green Cards. Eamon is a great friend of mine. They're all, they're great. We get to see them as much as possible when they come through town.
Well, we do as well because of the Australian connection there, so it's good.
I'd be very proud.
Oh, very proud, very proud, very proud of Kim and Carol and Eamon. Let's move to, there's two more tracks I want to feature. I want to go quickly to the Duke Ellington one. We'll go to that now, Alana, and we'll come back after that, and then we'll hear a very traditional song from a long time ago. But let's hear your version of this song, or this tune, I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good, Duke Ellington, from all those years ago. And there it is. It is a little different. You've taken that song, and it's been done and copied many times. But you know, I'm trying to get the feel for why you did it that way. Did it just happen? You just followed the melody and took the song and let it evolve?
I think so. I also, around that time, I was given by a friend that gave me the entire Duke Ellington box set, I think on Columbia, and there are a couple different versions of that song from the early days, like from the 1930s, and they are like that. They're very simple. They're very slow and just sort of almost like prayerful and meditative. And I loved I love that take on that song, and I just decided to give it a try. But I so often think of those kind of songs, less is more, and I try to just keep that one really, really simple. But I love it. It's such a beautiful song.
Well, let's talk about that, the one that might be about that era. Carson Robertson, a great country pioneer, was around for a long while, and you do one of his songs as well. And so we'll go out on this song, Alana James. But are you looking ahead to the next project? Artists usually are planning the next album as soon as one's finished.
You are so right. Yeah, we've been touring most of this year on this one, and I'm trying to kind of calm it down for the second half of the year and get some new songs together and maybe go back into the studio before the end of the year. Now that I've gotten the ball rolling, I can see, I think it's like the first step is the hardest, and then you just kind of follow up with round two. So I'm very, very excited to get going on that, yes.
And, of course, now you're in a position where you choose the band members.
Yes, that's true, for better or for worse.
Alana James, look, it's been a pleasure to talk with you around Australia and on Saturday Night Country. Thank you for being with us, and hopefully this is not the last time we have a chat about your music and an album, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, John. Thank you so much.
I see a candlelight down in the little green valley, where morning glory vines are twining round the door. Oh, how I wish I was there again, down in the little green valley, for then my homesick heart would trouble me no more. There's only one thing ever brings me consolation,